Quaker Puff Dry Sparkies bring you... Quaker Puff Dry Sparkies brings you Terry and the Pirates. With one mystery ending and another starting, now is the time to latch on to this tip-top Terry tale, a post-war thriller jam-packed with action and adventure. Yes, and laughs and excitement. Our friends are in Hong Kong, and today it looks as if they're going to sign, seal, stamp, and deliver a dangerous criminal into the hands of the law. Pat Ryan and Terry have the man, Cuffney by name, outside in a car. So, come on inside, and we'll wait for the showdown.
Here comes Quaker with a bang, bang. Rat-a-da-da-da-da, bang, bang. Quaker Puff Dry Sparkies, the rice that shot from guns. Family's favorite breakfast, the rice that shot from guns. Quaker Puff Dry Sparkies have vitamins, do tell. The easy step to extra pep, and boy, the taste is swell. Here comes Quaker with a bang, bang.
Hi, gang. Here's a riddle for you. Tell me, what insect do you find in the alphabet? Well, the answer is a bee. Oh, what's buzzing, cousin? And, gang, here's a tip. If you haven't Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies on hand, make a bee line for the nearest grocery store first chance you get. Yep, waste no time. Get hold of those big red and blue Quaker packages. Get the renowned ready-to-eat wheat cereal shot from guns. That's the original, the one and only Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies. They're good for you, too. Mm-hmm. Every bite furnishes the good, wholesome nourishment of wheat in easy-to-digest form. But best of all, these kingpin kernels are delicious, have a nut-like flavor and tender crispness that's tops from A to Z. And say, here's a honey of an idea. Try topping a bowl full with honey. Mm-mm. That's a real treat, gang. Convinced? Then get the breakfast shot from guns. That's Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies. Get a package at your grocer's tomorrow.
We're in the large meeting room adjoining the office of Captain Lash. He's the port intelligence officer for Hong Kong. And what with smuggling, black markets, customs troubles, tax evasions... Well, he's not a very happy man to be confronted with an investigation into a couple of killings. In fact, Captain Lash is in a very bad mood this morning.
I have the papers on this affair.
Just a minute, Lieutenant. I haven't finished yet.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me.
Everybody who might have some knowledge of the Ventura murders has been ordered to come here. And so as we look around the room here beside the desk of Captain Lash, we see familiar faces.
Who are all these people, Lieutenant?
Most of them are from the yacht Ventura, sir.
I know that, but who are they?
Well, that group of men in the corner are the crew members. The tall man near the wall, that's Captain Regal, skipper of the yacht.
I knew that, but who are the others?
The impressive-looking gentleman with the young lady is the owner of the yacht, Conrad Sainsbury.
I know that.
And the young lady is Mrs. Sainsbury's wife.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, sir.
Who's that skinny little runt by the door? Does he belong in here?
Yes, Captain Lash. He's one of the chaps who came aboard the Ventura from the White Duck.
What White Duck?
The reports are all there before you, sir. The White Duck is a ship.
I know that.
It came to the rescue of the Ventura. A party of five men boarded her at sea. The events aboard the yacht were such that the boarding party remained with the craft until it dropped anchor in Hong Kong Harbor.
Good grief, Lieutenant. I know all that.
Yes, sir.
Then is everybody here? Are we ready to start?
Well, no, sir.
Well, who's missing? Where are they? Didn't you notify the parties in question to be here?
Yes, sir. They may be a little late.
I know that. Who isn't here?
Well, let me consult my memoranda to myself. Mr. Sainsbury. Oh, yes, Mr. Pat Ryan and Mr. Terry Lee of the White Duck. They boarded the White Duck at sea, and Mr. Ryan sort of tried to take charge of the inquiry until it was officially placed in our hands.
Who does he think we are? Coming late. We can't have this delay, Lieutenant.
No, sir.
Who else is late?
Well, there's a chap named Cuffney. It says here he's the secretary to Mr. Sainsbury.
Who's Sainsbury?
The owner of the yacht Ventura, sir.
Is he here?
Yes, sir. He's sitting with his wife over there.
I know. Well, do we need his secretary for any reason?
Well, yes. And again, no.
Yes and no. Make up your mind, Lieutenant.
Well, it's this way, Captain.
You'll never get anywhere in the service if you can't make up your mind. A simple question demands a simple answer. Do we need this person, Sainsbury?
Cuffney, sir.
Well, do we need him or not? Yes or no? And, by the way, where are my stomach pills and a glass of water? Confound it, this office is run like a first-class school for morons.
I'll get your stomach water and a glass of pills immediately, Captain. Excuse me, please.
Well, what do you want?
Are you Captain Lasser?
That's correct.
Well, my name is Ryan. This is Terry Lee, and this man is Mr. Cuffney, the secretary to Conrad Sainsbury.
Oh, Cuffney, huh? Well, just been talking about you. You're late. What detained you? This office can't wait on your own sweet pleasure. Take a seat, all of you. We'll begin the hearing. Who's this man?
That is Representative Mossbunker from the United States, sir.
Oh, I see. Well, take a seat.
Here are your stomach pills, Captain, and water.
Good. How many do I take today, Lieutenant?
Two, sir.
I think I'll take three. I feel terrible. Now, where were we? Oh, yes. By the way, Lieutenant, who killed who? Somebody was killed, I believe.
Yes, sir.
Quiet! Quiet, please! We must have quiet! Now then, where's that paper, Lieutenant?
In your hand, sir.
Yes. Whereas the yacht Ventura, upon dropping anchor in Hong Kong Harbor, does hereby submit its entire complement to the jurisdiction of the authority vested in the office of the Allied Port Intelligence Authority. Therefore, all persons of said Ventura will now make proper statements under oath concerning their knowledge of certain acts of violence. Do I have to read all this tripe?
No, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get on with it. Somebody killed somebody. Now, who was it?
If the captain please, I have the guilty party in custody. And I have all the necessary evidence. May I present it?
This is highly irregular.
Shut up! Yes, proceed. And quiet, everybody!
Hotshot Charlie had the portable radio record machine, and it took but a moment to plug it in and set it on the desk of Captain Lash. I put the record on and turned to the audience.
Now, in just a moment, you will hear the voices of two people. Thanks to the wonderful ingenuity of Representative Mossbunker, we have been able to get ironclad evidence against the killer, who sits there handcuffed to Terry Lee.
I want quiet!
Now, Captain, you will hear the voices of Mrs. Sainsbury and Secretary Cuffney. After that, I shall leave the case entirely in your hands. Perhaps this is one time when we can reach the end of an inquiry before we start. Start the record, Charlie.
Hello, City Police.
This little conversation is just between us, Mrs. Sainsbury. Just between us.
Monsieur Cuffney, then you admit you killed the people on the yacht, eh?
Yes. I got rid of Pierre. And if Dr. Fontaine had not seen me throw Pierre overboard, well, the doctor would be alive today.
You're this to me.
Why not? So I killed Fontaine with a dagger I took from your husband's cabin. Just in time, too. A Fontaine would have reached that meadow Ryan and his friend.
The audience was strangely quiet. Cuffney, handcuffed to Terry Lee, slumped in his chair, his head sunk down his chest. He appeared not to be listening.
Hey, Captain Lash.
Yes?
What do you think's the matter with Cuffney, sir?
He does look pale and listless, eh?
Yes. I know he has a heart ailment, but better keep an eye on him, sir.
Yes, but let's hear the rest of the record.
Yes, sir. Okay, Charlie.
If it is so, I do not go to the police. If I do not speak of what you tell me.
Then things go on as usual.
But wait! you kill those men. You do not want Hébert to find these other men, Jean-Prix.
That is right. I don't want your husband to continue his search for the person known as Dr. John Quill.
So you kill Pierre. Because of it, so he can show where Jean-Prix is living, oui?
Exactly.
You do not like these Dr. Quill, eh?
Mrs. Sainsbury sat beside her elderly husband, her hands clasped tightly in front of her. Conrad Sainsbury glanced at her now and then as the record continued with its incriminating evidence. It was not very pleasant listening.
I do not throw everything away because you come here with the front dog, may
not? Well, about Dr. Quill. He gave up his fine practice in New York. He disappeared. I happened to be in San Francisco when I met him. He did not know who he was.
Bit by bit, the whole mystery unraveled itself. We heard Cuffney say he was the half-brother of the missing Dr. John Quill.
He was so successful, and I was just a fly-by-night newspaper man. I hated the great Dr. John Quill.
But when you hit this man, that is crazy.
Yes, so it was, crazy. So when I saw he didn't recognize me, well, I took him aboard the ship. It was no trouble. I wanted to get him out of the way.
Why did you not kill him? Killing is so easy for you.
Killing is something you have to build yourself up to. Anyway, I didn't want to kill John. I just wanted to lose him from the world. And I did. Yes, I did.
But why? Why did you do that?
Because, my dear lady, Dr. John Quill is my half-brother.
He is your half-brother. Oh, mon Dieu. Mon Dieu. So that explains why you do not wish to fight him.
I thought I'd lost him. He didn't know who he was. I left him in Indochina. People thought he was working for the Japanese. He had a small plantation. He was content. It started a new life. But now your husband gets this insane idea of going in search of John Quill. I cannot let this expedition succeed. John must not be brought back. There's much more I could tell you, but you know too much
Captain
already.
Lash. Captain Lash!
Yes, Lieutenant, what is it?
Something's wrong, sir. This man, Cuffney, sir. I've been watching him closely, sir. I just noticed. It must have been his heart, sir. Cuffney is dead.
And so it is that the killings aboard the Ventura, the reason why they were done, has been cleared up. And the killer himself is beyond reach of the law on this earth. We'll get more details in just a moment. So stand by.
Quake, a puff rice party, the rice that shot from gun. Here comes Quaker with a bang, bang. Ra-da-da-da-da, bang, bang.
Gang, you can try them all. But if you ask me, there's no beating this eating. I mean a bowl full of Quaker puffed wheat sparkies with milk, sweetened with sugar or honey, and topped with fruit. For instance, with applesauce. Morning, noon, or night, there's a nourishing flavor treat that's a standout in a class by itself. For these giant kingpin kernels are different. Delicious. Tender crisp. They're shot from guns, exploded 8 times larger. Magnified, glorified, crispified. And talk about flavor. Just you try Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies tomorrow. But remember, Quaker Puffed Wheat Sparkies come only in the big Quaker packages that are red and blue. They're the ones for you.
Terry and the Pirates is dramatized for radio by Albert Barker, who says, was it heart failure, or did Cuffney take the easiest way out? Even Terry, who sat beside him, doesn't know. We'll hear the aftermath of this amazing meeting in a bitter session. Same time, same station.